Good evening, and welcome to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow, and I'm doing the show with Sue Timberlake.
Hey there.
And John Roberts. And hey, you know, we do have repeat broadcasts Monday afternoon at 4, so if you're listening to us on Monday afternoon, good afternoon. Ha ha! Don't forget, Democracy Now! Is on after us, so on Monday. If you're listening on Friday, it just finished because we're on after. Yeah, anyway, it's all, it makes sense.
Okay.
I swear. Yeah. You could also just listen to us anytime you like on civilpoliticsradio.com, which is, you know, our website with recordings of previous episodes of the show and stuff like that. You can email us contact@civilpoliticsradio.com too if you have like questions, comments, advice, you know, phishing schemes, you know, desperate pleas for funding for princes in Nigeria, any of that. We love it all. It's all good. What?
I don't think our producer agrees with that.
Well, I don't have to read them. What?
let him infect his computers. Yeah, perfect.
No. Bad. No.
You know, if I'm not acting out and being an unruly child, are you really being the producer of the show?
No, I guess not.
Point for me.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
You're going to be banned to Ohio next Monday.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I am making a flying visit out, stay with an old friend from college in Cleveland to see the solar eclipse, which looks pretty cool.
You going to wear those little glasses?
Yeah, I don't want to lose my vision.
Do you have some? Or are you going to get them out there?
I have some.
Sweet.
I got a pack of like a dozen of them, you know, for like $5 kind of thing. So I have far more than I need. But
yeah, you can share them with friends. So
indeed. And
strangers. Can I have one?
Sure.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're supposed to, just so everybody partial knows, right? In Western Massachusetts, we're supposed to get like 95 occlusion. 95% occlusion here.
That's so not bad.
Well, okay. Yeah. I'm not sure it's that much, but
that's what I heard on the news.
Well, that means it'll look kind of cool.
It'll look pretty cool, but you cannot look directly at it at all. You can look directly at a full eclipse for like a hot second, but it's not advisable, and definitely not if it's not fully covered.
Yeah.
So if you're not in like Ohio or Canada or whatever, then
Texas down in Mexico, it's just this whole swath along
don't look at the sun without glasses.
Yep.
Like find
even if
Mike,
most of it's covered.
Find Mike and get some glasses from him.
If it's not dark, don't look at it.
Right.
Exactly.
Because if it's only partial, then it won't be that dark. It won't look like night. So
that's right.
How exciting. They say animals get very concerned about it, too.
Well, yeah.
I certainly would. You know, the only reason I'm not is because I know it's going to happen in advance.
Yeah.
You know.
If it just happened, I'd be freaking out.
Yeah.
The sun's gone? What
are the gods thinking?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Whoever your god is, you know.
Well, and at the same time, you'd be like, wait, does this mean it's going to get cooler and not be as bright? Because that'd be kind of cool, but, you know.
Yeah, it's a dirty lie.
Yeah.
It's a dirty
Delta. Dirty I think lie. It's Delta's got a flight that's going to go from Texas, going to stay with it the whole way.
Fly within the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I thought John would want to be on that because it'd be dark. You know, it'd be really, you know, and not sunny and bright.
Yeah. But he'd first have to go to Texas.
Oh, that's a problem. Never mind.
Also, I'd have to have money.
Yeah. Like.
That's probably a lot of money. That sort of thing.
Probably.
Hey,
not
shut up, everybody! Shut up. Some white people died.
Okay.
Oh
yes.
My god. Some white people died, and everybody has to pay attention to it.
Some white people from countries outside of Israel / Palestine died as
yeah.
well. Yeah. Yeah. So that was awful.
Shut up. That's what. That's that. I trick them. by the way, because I told them that we should talk about Florida first.
Yes,
you did.
But shut up, because some white aid workers died, even though like over 200 aid workers have already died in the, over the 6 months. But now we need to pay attention.
Well, most of them were Palestinians, I think.
I think so. Yeah. But yeah, some that not even, you know, so now everybody's talking about the aid workers that died. So everybody paid. That's I just wanted to let everybody know how it feels to watch the news.
Yeah.
And know what's going on. And then everybody's like, news break. Oh, yeah. These aid people died from this famous guy's kitchen because he's famous. And also, you know, they're not brown. So like, pay attention.
And they couldn't have been infiltrated by Hamas. You just can't make that story because that's what Israel usually says.
That, that's what they're saying now.
No.
No, they aren't.
Okay, good.
They I mean, they certainly, I think, would love to be able to say that, but
they kept mentioning one was Palestinian of the seven, but
The driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just annoying as hell.
Yeah, so that was it on late night on the first, early on the second, I think.
Yeah.
So earlier this week. A truck carrying workers for World Central Kitchen, the
three trucks.
Well, so a truck carrying workers for the World Central Kitchen, the charity founded by Jose Andres, who's a famous chef from Spain. I'd never heard of him until he started showing up on the Colbert show. But, you know, it's like, OK, I guess he was a big name. I guess he has like a lot of like famous restaurants in Washington, D.C., so,
but he runs to the disaster areas and sets up food for people before anybody else.
Yeah, no,
gets there.
I'm, you know, they're great. You know, like them and like, you know, Médecins Sans Frontières. You know, like, oh no, like going to help people. What a terrible thing to do. You know, obviously that's great. But yeah, so one of their trucks was driving along this road from one warehouse to another, and it got hit by a Hellfire missile. Which went right through the roof of the vehicle and killed
right through the
people.
Insignia that was on the roof of the vehicle. Yeah.
And so then another one of their trucks picked up survivors from that and started driving down that same road. And then the IDF blew that one up too. And then a third truck came along. And when that picked up survivors, the IDF blew that one up. So
also they knew that they were there.
Yes. Well, yes. So the vocabulary word of the week, boys and girls, is deconfliction, which is, I mean, I'd heard of it before, but it hasn't been getting a lot of play until now in the reporting about Israel's ongoing assault on the people of Gaza. But the idea of deconfliction is... So, for example, a few years ago when the United States and the Russian Federation were flying fighter jets and bombers around over Syrian airspace, you know, with Russia trying to back the Assad regime and the U.S. hitting ISIS targets and whatever, they would let each other know, like, hey, we're going to be flying a mission, you know, this plane, you know, this is the rough flight plan. This is the transponder signal. So like, if you see this plane, it's us, you know, and the Russians would do the same so that there wouldn't be like, I don't know who that is, but I'm worried about them. So should I shoot them and whatnot? So that's the idea of deconfliction. And, charities and relief agencies, working, all over the world, try to let local governments and militaries know, hey, we're coming over here. We're doing this.
And they were on a protected road.
They were on a road that was specifically, you know, set cleared for them to use. And they had told the IDF, like, we are going to, you know, three of our trucks are going to go along this road, you know, from here to here at around this time. It was about 1 a.m. local time. I don't know what kind of imaging the Israelis were using. It's possible they actually didn't see the logo on top of the truck, but I think that hardly matters considering they, you know, they had been very clearly told that this was going to happen and had said that's okay with us.
Yep, they confirmed it. Yep.
Yeah. So
the Israelis confirmed.
Yes. So two officers have been fired from their jobs for this. And as far as I can tell, John was 100% right. The only difference is, like, these are people working for a international celebrity who's got real pull in American politics. And when he, you know, posts about this and says this was a targeted attack by Israel, people like me will listen.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Primarily all the people that were murdered by the IDF were white and male.
Yeah.
Except for the one woman.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't know what the last guy.
And the Palestinian driver.
There's a Palestinian. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, there's a,
you know,
there's a woman and a Palestinian man and like a bunch of white dudes and everybody's
from the
U.S.
and Canada and Australia.
Yeah. Yep. Somebody had didn't Canada U.S. Dual citizenship.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But yeah, so it's just it's awful. World Central Kitchen does genuinely good work. So, I mean, I'm not in any way trying to be like, yeah, we only care about that.
Oh, no, they're great.
They are great.
Do you know how they started?
I don't, actually.
The chef, I forget his name.
Jose Andres.
Yeah, he saw what was going on in Haiti.
Oh, following the earthquake?
Following the earthquake. And
which was 13 years ago, kids.
Yes, yes. And he was like, oh, no, no, no. Yeah. And set up kitchens there, and it just went off from there. And they've gone into a lot of conflict zones.
I didn't realize it started with that earthquake. I had heard about them in connection with that, but mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was where they started.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So I mean, Doctors Without Borders, World Central Kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doctors Without Borders is saying the same thing. I saw a piece with them, and they were saying, yeah, they're targeting the hospitals.
A few months ago, there was some doctors from Doctors Without Borders were killed by the Israelis. And it was, again, they didn't mention the deconfliction thing then in those reports. But yes, it was exactly the same thing. The only reason I'm harping on that is it feels like, now that there's something that's actually pissing up people off and is really raising the political stakes, now we're getting more technical and we're being more, you know, we're offering more explanations about what's going on. And by that, I mean, including commentators here in the West. Fred Kaplan, who writes a lot of good international politics and military news for Slate. He's written some excellent books about, like, you know, the nuclear arms race, for example. Basically wrote about this, and he explained what deconfliction was, and he said, you know, obviously Israel doesn't want to kill people from World Central Kitchen. And I really have to wonder.
Well, if you won't let food trucks in, enough food into the country, aren't you starving people? Aren't you using food as a weapon?
Yeah.
And everybody says, you know, there'll be a pair of clippers on a truck and they'll deny the whole truck. And they call it dual use. And it's like, nail clippers? Really?
Oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize the TSA was outsourcing.
Yeah. Indiscriminate bombing is what Biden said at first. I don't know what he's saying these days.
Well, I do know that we sent them more bombs earlier this week, too. So, I mean...
Biden had a conversation with
Mr. Netanyahu,
mm-hmm. and he's finally tied the policy for Israel aid to civilian protection.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Took long enough.
Yeah, it took long enough, but this is what a lot of us wanted. At least that, like, the start of what a lot of us wanted.
Yeah.
Saying, like, look, you need, like, throwing his weight around. And this is after a half an hour call. After that call, the Israelis announced that they were allowing more trucks through over in different entrances.
Yeah, different. I've heard them described as entry points.
Points, thank you. And
because there's a wall all around Gaza.
Yeah, basically. And the two people getting dismissed. This is after after the conversation. So Biden was probably like, look, you need to get your stuff together. Just get it together. Put it in a backpack. Bring it to the stuff museum. I don't care. Just get it together.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris a couple of weeks ago.
If anybody emails in about what I was referencing, you get a cookie.
I have no idea, and I want a cookie. But maybe you'll tell me off air.
Too bad.
And if he eats them before you get a response, that'll be the end.
Yeah, they're already gone. Oh, yeah. This is an e-cookie.
Oh,
I get to track you.
Oh, not a real. Oh, well. But Kamala Harris is called for new a change of regime, which was
sure.
Interesting that they had the VP
sure. And Chuck Schumer did the same thing. The thing about this is I'm reminded of the similar kinds of arguments that happen after police killings in this country. It's just like, you know, these kinds of horrible murders keep happening. To say like, oh, it's a failure of the system, it's a mistake or whatever. It's like this is systematic. The system is working as designed, because I think there's a lot of things that can be said about the Israeli Defense Force, but incompetent nitwits is not one of them.
Well, they certainly portrayed themselves as the most sophisticated. And didn't our mayor in East Hampton, she went over to see how they, remember she traveled to Israel?
Nicole LaChapelle, yeah.
Yeah, and to get, you know, sort of see how they do all these things. And so they have been held out to the world as the most sophisticated, disciplined. And so are they incompetent?
No.
So this is intentional then.
I mean, sure, their reputation may be overblown, sure. But I just, there's not as good as they say they are. And just, you know, Keystone Cops, except with Hellfire drones.
This is how I think about it. I think that from what I know about their military structure, they're approaching sophistication on our level. So yeah. if we like were in it, like years ago in Afghanistan, if there was like an aid convoy that was going through Afghanistan and there was just a Hellfire missile that got that like targeted them and blew them the hell away, then how would we react to our military doing that?
Like, oh, it's not a mistake. It's
But they're not. We wouldn't be like, they're Keystone Cops or like, they know what they're doing. And hopefully we would say like, we're supposed to have the most sophisticated military in the world. What the hell are you doing? You know?
Yeah. And also a lot of the times when people talk about like the chaos of and confusion of battle, they're talking about a battle. Like nobody was shooting back.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't zigzagging. They weren't. Yeah. This was a very straightforward situation.
Well, look at that wedding that we took out in Afghanistan. Yeah. I mean, people were horrified.
Well, so there's a YouTube commenter I follow who, you know, I don't think is
the commenter or commentator.
I don't know. What's the difference?
A commenter is someone that would post underneath videos. A commentator is someone that makes videos about stuff.
All right. Somebody who makes videos on YouTube.
Okay.
His name is Ryan Macbeth. And he's he used to be a U.S. military sergeant. I think he worked in tanks or something like that. Anyway, you know, seems like a decent guy, though. He's definitely very pro-Israel. But has posted some breakdowns of some of these recent shocking events in Israel where, you know, like, I don't know if you remember the one from like a week or two ago where four people were just walking in an open, you know, bombed out lot and they got blown apart by Israeli missiles, like three different strikes, you know, like, no, we're definitely making sure you guys do not leave this little area alive. Yeah. He said, I can't remember exactly what he said now, but he was talking about it in a way that was similar to how Fred Kaplan was talking about it. It's like, well, obviously Israel doesn't want to just randomly kill people. Obviously, Israel doesn't want to kill people from World Central Kitchen. Obviously, Israel is not going to just throw, you know, $150,000 missiles around willy-nilly just to kill four random people. And I'm like, is that obvious? I'm like, it's obvious in that it's wasteful and, you know, irresponsible. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Like, are you trying to fight a war? Are you trying to achieve strategic goals? You know, like, are you trying to find the enemy and kill them? Maybe. You know, I don't know who those four people were. For all I know, they were, you know, four senior Hamas officials who've long been on Israel's target list. I don't know. I'm not trying to pretend that I know more than I do. But they went to a lot of trouble to make sure those guys were killed. And I don't know, based on everything I'm seeing out of this war, and including things like the later attack on the World Central Kitchen people, I don't think it at all follows that Israel is being particularly careful about things. There was an article I saw in Haaretz, which pointed out that apparently there are areas in Gaza that the Israeli Defense Force has declared to be kill zones.
Yes. Yeah, I heard that too.
Right. With, you know, akin to the free fire zones that we had in Vietnam back in the day, which basically just means if
time to napalm.
Well, if it's moving, you can kill it.
Yeah.
You know,
and they have protected, like, this road was a protected road for aid transfer. Yeah. I heard somebody talking about friendly fire, and one of the commentators said, what are you talking about with the World Central Kitchen folks? That's not friendly fire. You know, it's like they're using all the fog of war to explain why this happened. And in fact, none of it really holds up in this case.
Well, I think it holds up in that the best case scenario is for the Israelis is they're sort of like, oh, well, we just don't really care that much. So, oops. You know, the worst case scenario is they're like, huh, those are those people who want to feed the Palestinians. That's getting in the way of our efforts to kill the Palestinians. So let's kill them.
Well, to pressure the Palestinians to give up the hostages and Hamas to surrender by basically starving them.
Right. And from
food or water.
Right. Yeah. And from what I can
see.
Which
is a war crime.
Right.
Yes.
It is a war crime. And also, from what I can see, the leadership of Hamas doesn't seem to be moved by that. They don't seem to be buckling along those lines.
It's like North Korea. They, you know, the people may suffer, but he doesn't.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know enough about the leadership of Hamas to truly comment on their moral character, but, you know, they were willing to launch the October 7th pogrom. So clearly they're not they're not overly concerned with the loss of human life. And, you know, my understanding is also like the leadership of Hamas isn't anywhere near Gaza. So they're not
They're in other countries.
Yeah, they're in Jordan and Egypt, from last I heard.
Yeah, and I think also in Bahrain, I heard.
Yeah.
So obviously they're not in any immediate danger from what's happening there. So that makes it a lot easier, I think.
I just wanted to say, as people, as commentators, that we talking about this every so often, I feel like we need to say, if you listen to us, we have not once mentioned like any support for Hamas,
yeah,
or saying that what they did was good or anything. We're just talking about the Palestinian people and them being caught in the middle of all of this and how Israel is just not. They've lost the high ground long ago, you know.
Well, and
so I just want to say that, like, yeah, because some people they freak out if you don't say that sometimes.
Yeah, well, yeah. And also let's take a moment. You know what also sucks? Not quite as much as, you know, thousands of people being blown up by the Israeli military.
We're above 30,000, by the way.
Yeah, which is awful.
Yeah.
But you know what also sucks is the upsurge in anti-Semitic attacks that's happening around the world. You know, not only are people sort of coming out and being more openly anti-Semitic in what they say, there's also, you know, threats and violence being directed against Jews around the world.
And Islamophobia.
Yeah, and anti-Arab hatred. So, you know,
yeah, look at those young men in Vermont.
Yeah, that all is awful.
Abbott,
you know,
actually,
but like, it's not okay you know, it's obvious, but I mean, like, it's not okay to talk about how this is a problem with the Jews. It's not. The problem we have is with, like, faction and some percentage of the Israeli population that basically wants to do a genocide, that wants to ethnically cleanse the Gaza Strip and then set up beachfront condos. Like, that's bad.
Some of the most religious folks in Israel don't even serve in the military either.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, the Haredim.
You're in that study, then you're exempt from the military.
Yeah, if you're in yeshiva. It's the Haredim, I think, is the what that particular faction is called. So, you know, I'm not, like, it's criticizing Jewish people, but it is not about them being Jews. It's about them being, you know.
Bad.
It's not criticizing Jewish people. It's criticizing Israelis.
Sure.
And really more the government of Israel at the moment.
I Israel is a democracy, so I think some criticism can be levied at the people of Israel, just like criticism can be levied at, say, me for, say,
letting Biden
the war in Iraq 20 years ago that started. Yeah. You know, like, I went out and marched in the streets to protest against it, to say, don't do it. It still happened, and I still kept paying my taxes. Which means I still kept paying for that war.
Yep.
So people want to say, hey, some of that blood is on your hands, Michael Dow. You're not wrong. And I still hate it.
Yeah, that's why I want to separate, like, criticizing Israel or Israeli is not the same as criticizing Jewish people.
Yeah.
It's not, because we're talking about government policy and not religion.
And we're talking about a military, you know, basically it's not so much fighting a war as kicking a collection of people while they're down. And I gotta say, I'm pleased that President Biden has finally come out and publicly started using our leverage to get the Israelis.
He hasn't used any leverage at all
until just now.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that's happened, but I got to say, I'm not terribly satisfied with him, because it's like, oh, so in other words, you could have done this months ago, as we have been saying, you know, as we have been yelling at you to do, you know, as I've been writing to the White House about, you know, like, actually just this week, I unenrolled from the Democratic Party.
Wow.
Because, you know, I don't want to be part of the same political party as Joe Biden, so long as he's doing this, you know. I may still vote for Democratic candidates. I'm still leaning ideologically and programmatically towards a lot of the same ideas, you know, like, hey, we should have healthcare for all, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We should do things. But
so here's a dilemma. After the break.
Oh, you gotta. Okay, yes.
Yep.
That's true. This is a good point. So we're gonna play some PSAs, promos, and station IDs, and then we'll be back with more civil politics on Valley Free Radio in just a couple of minutes. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
What did they just say? If you often find yourself asking that, you may benefit from the new audio enhancing technology available at the Forbes Library in Northampton. Designed to work with or without a hearing aid, the new and improved audio-visual systems in our meeting rooms, along with countertop loop systems at our service desks, are some of the new technology the library now has. With federal funds provided by the Institute of Museum and Library Services and administered by the Massachusetts Board of Library Commissioners, you'll now find hearing the librarian and guest lecturers a whole lot easier. Call 413-587-1017 or email info@forbeslibrary.org to find out more.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude. Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta. Ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
It makes me feel free.
I do it to save money.
I feel in charge when I'm doing it.
It's a healthy way of life.
Why do you bicycle instead of driving a car?
It's a good way to fit more exercise into my day.
Bicycling is a fun, healthy, economical, and fuel-efficient way to travel. Enjoy the ride. Take your bike. Brought to you by the Franklin Regional Council of Governments and Pioneer Valley Planning Commission, with funding provided by the Federal Highway Administration and Massachusetts Executive Office of Transportation. Come visit enjoytherideby-bike.com.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You're listening to Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton, Massachusetts.
Reggae Down is on Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m. Turn on your radio for great sounds from international reggae artists, roots, dancehall, DJ mixes, and rhythms. Get down with Reggae Down every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Valley Free Radio.
Living with a disability can be a challenge when obstacles in your home make independent living seem impossible. Luckily, there's the Massachusetts Home Modification Program, which offers loans up to $30,000 with manageable repayment plans, making it possible for you to modify your home so you can live independently. Because living at home shouldn't be a challenge. Call the Massachusetts Rehabilitation Commission at 617-204-3739 or visit us online at mass.gov/MRC to learn more.
A Baha'i Perspective, hosted by Warren Odess Gillette, is a weekly radio broadcast of biographical interviews of people who have either chosen the Baha'i faith as a way of life or who have a relationship with the Baha'i faith. You can listen to the broadcast on Saturdays at 10 a.m. on WXOJLP 103.3 FM. That's Valley Free Radio.
Want to make a difference in a big way? Nearly 200 children in Hampshire County are on a waiting list to be matched with adult mentors called BIGs. Children who are matched with mentors through Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Hampshire County do better in school, report higher self-confidence, and have better relationships with peers. Start something. Call 413-259-3345 and volunteer or donate to Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Hampshire County.
And we are back with Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, 103.3 FM, out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Mike. That's Jonna. That's Sue. What'd you got to say?
Oh, so here's the question. You know, me and bombshells.
Woohoo!
World Central Kitchen has been feeding folks in the Gaza Strip, yep, as they do in all the areas where there's problems. They also set up a kitchen at the same time for Israelis, who I didn't know were starving or were suffering any kind of food shortage.
I think it was for people who had their homes destroyed or were displaced by the October 7th attack.
Yeah, I was surprised because, you know, with all the need in all the world, Israel can perfectly well feed their own people. They have lots of money. They aren't really, you know, how many people get displaced?
I don't know, a few thousand?
Yeah, a few thousand.
You know, I mean, there's... What? Like, there's probably more than a million hungry children in the United States tonight. Can we afford to feed them all? Absolutely.
Yes.
Do we? No. Why? Because there are lots
of people. We did afford it. Yeah. We had the child tax credit.
Oh, for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that reduced child hunger by half.
Well, you know, Joe Manchin was worried that would spike our inflation. And Kirsten Sinema also thought it was a problem, too.
It's the tiniest...
Oh, and
violin in the
and
world,
also
or it's on
every
Booker,
Republican in the Senate also thought it was bad.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just found that sort of interesting.
Why are you part of that party again? That's not against child hunger?
Oh, because I like children to starve around the world. I think that's my goal, really.
Yeah, right, yes. Exactly.
Well, it's just, I'm sure they were being really even-handed. But
were you the one who wanted to reopen the asbestos factory and have the kids work in there? Sorry.
The asbestos factory, they just pump out asbestos. That's all they do. They don't sell it.
Nope.
No,
we just make it.
I like it when it's really friable, so it really floats in the air. It's my goal is,
breathe it in deep, kids.
Yeah. I was living in Boston, and I was in an old apartment, and I went down in the basement, and there it was. They're called snowmen furnaces.
Yeah.
He was covered with, you know, it's a big white. I just ran right back upstairs. I said,
nope.
I was
never
used
the heat again.
Yeah. I was.
Well, don't go in the basement again until somebody mitigates. Yeah.
Yeah. I just looked and I went, oh my goodness. Look at that guy in there. It was a cheap apartment. I was young. You know, it was one of those, but I knew what it was when I saw it. And I was like, oh. And the landlord was down there all the time, tinkering around and taping up the stuff that was, you know, floating around and putting pennies in the fuse box because we were blowing, just all the things you do.
Oh, my God. I'd forgotten about that old trick. That's a great way to burn your house down.
Yeah.
Jesus, Sue.
Oh, the places we live and the places we go. But, I knew better then. I know even better now, but, you know, it was inexpensive.
So anyway, but you were saying about World Central Kitchen, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it was just sort of that piece that here they are so even-handed and so above reproach.
Yeah.
And look what the IDF did to them. And he was beside himself.
Of course he was. To my boy.
Yeah. Right.
He's good. I disclaimer, my cousin donated to them on my behalf. So,
and,
so I have a little card at home that says World Central Kitchen.
I may add them to the list of charities I send money to.
Yeah, they're good. They're really good.
There's a bunch of them. Well, and, certainly for me, and I think for you, both of you as well.
Are you going to do some mail explaining what we think?
No, I'm saying what I think.
White male. Oh, and you hope we agree.
you plenty of opportunity for you to say otherwise. But just in the end, like the criticism we've been making about Israel tonight, certainly that I've been making, is coming down to, I think it's horrible that all these people are being killed. These are all unnecessary murders that are happening, and every loss of life is a tragedy. Like hundreds of Israeli soldiers have been killed in all this. I mean, there has been fighting, actual combat between Hamas militants and the Islamic Jihad and whatever, and Israeli soldiers. I mean, it hasn't all just been like killing civilians. It's been way too much of that, but it hasn't been the entirety of it. And hundreds of Israeli soldiers have been killed, and those are also tragic losses of human life. Just all of it. Just like I feel badly about the Russian soldiers killed in Ukraine, even though I want the Ukrainians to win that war, I want them to win that war and drive the Russians out and then stop. I want all this violence to stop because people's lives matter, because we can live better lives if we stop fighting and start finding ways to live together.
Sound like a communist, communist socialist.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Right, Sue?
Whatever you say, comrade.
I think it is just frightening what's going on in the world right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this country is so polarized, and I don't know why. I mean, part of it is just, why are we all at each other's throats? Actually, I kind of know why.
Yeah, you know why.
People are afraid.
That's part of it?
You know why, Sue. You talk to them every day.
I talk to all kinds of people every day, and I get blasted from both sides.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you do.
I'm sure.
You're hanging out with too many, namby-pamby liberals like me.
Well, here in the Valley, I think I told you guys I got a wicked email. Did I tell you? Maybe I didn't.
I don't remember about an email, but I do know that you've had people sort of, when you mentioned like, and I'm a Republican, people go like,
because they think, pro-abortion and
they just pro-Trump. And,
They can't discriminate. We need to be a little more discerning, I guess, is the way to put it. But I got a horrible email, and this, you know, I don't know where you guys stand on this, but, you know, I raised...
Oh, I'm against email. It's a bad idea.
I raised some kittens.
Al Gore, he shouldn't have done it.
And people really don't...
Raise some kittens.
Yeah.
And they're adorable.
And people don't really like that. And I've gotten plenty of animals from shelters, I mean, in my lifetime, but this was something I was doing. And I put my two male cats up on one of the email lists for... stud service.
Yeah.
Siamese. And I got the biggest hate email. Maybe I didn't tell you guys.
No.
It was horrible. It said that my cat was a rapist. I was a bloodsucker.
What?
That I needed to get a real job. And it went on and they signed it too. Like, you know, clearly they're Western masters. But that venom is...
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. I'll bring the email to you guys.
Did they think that you were like a puppy mill?
I guess, but that my cat's a rapist? I mean, obviously, the queen has to be interested and willing. It's, yeah.
Are
they mad about ducks? Are they mad about dolphins?
Because
dolphins do that. Ducks do that.
You know, I haven't really thought much about the mating practices or the behaviors of cats. But
caterwauling comes into it. They are very vocal.
Well,
so.
I mean, at some point, it seems to me like the cats must be into this because like there's still cats around, you know, like, you know, without reproduction, there are no cats and there are lots of cats. So clearly this is like a thing that happens.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure rape is entirely the appropriate thing to apply to.
I think really,
I don't know.
What? I think really the answer here is
I don't get it.
A crazy person emailed you one time.
Oh, and
said
it's
some
not
stuff.
A movement because it feels like a.
Oh, there.
PETA's
there are,
a pretty strong movement.
Well, PETA, PETA as an organization is terrible.
It is.
They're terrible people. At least the organization is terrible.
But I think
the rules that the things that they do is
PETA
terrible.
Has run kill shelters.
Yes, they
like,
do.
Like we care about animal welfare, but we have shelters where when people drop their animals off here, we will kill them.
They protect eco-terrorists.
And it's just, you know, I can have some sympathy for the idea of eco-terrorism the same way that I had sympathy for John Brown as a terrorist. You know, it's like, yes, indeed, fight slavery. And, you know, if you're out there, you know, monkey wrenching ExxonMobil so they don't drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Reserve, you know.
I kind of enjoyed it when Greenpeace plugged up some of the sewer outlets into the Charles River, you know, with cement.
Yeah.
They went along and found the outlets up, like, from the businesses. And
I need to look up what the connection was, but they were connected to a very militant,
Greenpeace?
No,
PETA. Yeah,
PETA connected to a very like violent, militant group. Anyway,
right.
The person that you
and I'm terrorism generally a bad idea.
The person that emailed you is kind of nutty.
And Craigslist took the ad down because they do not allow you to put animals or breeders on.
Oh,
Craigslist.
I didn't know that.
Well,
yeah.
Good. That's honestly.
Fine. Well, but why?
Because most people are running puppy mills, which are harmful to actual animals.
I think you can figure out the difference between a. Anyway, but it is.
They don't care. Then it's
forbidden. It's verboten.
Well,
and I'm trying to just point out that people have very different views on very specific things, and it makes it really hard when you start with screaming. You know, you start with you are, you know, a horrible person.
Yeah, they're not trying to change your mind. That email was not meant to open a dialogue.
Yeah.
And it wasn't meant to do anything because sending a direct email to you will not do anything. They just were mad at it. What is that going to do? If they really cared, they would have reported you or something.
Well, and
not to give anybody ideas, but like
reported for what? I mean,
exactly. That doesn't matter because they just want to be mad. But if they really cared about like what you're doing to the animals or something or whatever, then they would have reported you to the animal control or something. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I understand being moved by animal cruelty, but.
Do your research.
Well, and that I don't know that that's necessarily a good way to get anywhere along it. But certainly speaking of outrage and letting people have it, for doing something they don't like. Did you see how a reporter was treated by the crowd at a recent Donald Trump event?
No.
Yes, the person asked Mr. Trump to comment on the recent ruling out of the Florida State Supreme Court upholding the law banning abortions after 6 weeks in Florida. And apparently the crowd was like really upset that the reporter was asking that question.
Even
I don't think they were upset about the ban. I think they were upset that someone wanted him to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope we can de-escalate from here.
Party of personal liberty.
The guy who slapped the reporter's hand has been arrested.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't hear about the being slapping a guy. Oh.
Oh, this. Sorry. I was reading about another conflict at a Trump rally in Florida in 2019.
Oh, that was years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to Google. There's just too many.
Yeah.
It's just too many instances of violence against reporters at Trump rallies. What are we going to do?
Well, freedom of speech, but not freedom of violence.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly a good starting place, yeah. So, any political prognostication or other thoughts about... So the Florida State Supreme Court upheld a state ban on abortions after 6 weeks, but they also said a ballot measure could go forward in Florida that would allow abortions up to 24 weeks.
Roe versus Wade kind of thing, yep.
Right.
Which means people are going to vote on it in the fall,
right?
November, whenever that is, 6th, 7th, something.
I thought it was November 5th, but
is it 5th?
I forget. I forgot Tuesday. To write it down.
It's November 5th.
Yeah. Guy Fawkes Day. Everybody wear a dumb mask.
You think they'll let you vote if you have a mask on?
I they might not, I suppose. I have no problem.
If it was a Trump mask, maybe not, but a Biden mask, they'd let you in.
I'd wear a William Shatner mask, like the like the murderer in the Halloween movies. Michael Myers, right? Yeah.
If it's a political mask, then you wouldn't be able to wear it.
Right, but a William Shatner mask, there's nothing scary about that, right?
I mean, his views are kind of frightening.
Oh, yeah.
JFK named his vice president. She's interesting. I was listening to her. She's actually pretty.
JFK. He's dead for
RFK. I do that Jr. every single time. RFK. And he wants you to, right?
RFK Jr.
It works. I'm so, you know.
RFK Jr., yeah.
You know, I mean, I wish his dad was still around, frankly, because some ways he's still like politically radical. Just, you know, like the way he was going around saying we have to fight poverty and whatnot. And Robert Kennedy, he's not somebody, he was dead before I was even born. So it's not someone I've ever met personally. And there's a lot I don't know about him, but I just remember reading about his, you know, going through the South on his, you know, early presidential campaign and just the way in which someone who had grown up with tremendous wealth and advantages was moved by the abject poverty he was seeing. He's just like, this is wrong. You know, like we have to do something to fix this. Like I'm happy to have grown up with wealth, but you know, what is the point of, like, it's wrong for me to be wealthy and not care about these people who are living in squalor. This has got to stop. And I find that still very inspiring.
Yeah, he was very principled, but people were very fearful because, not for him running for president, but because
somebody was.
John F. Kennedy appointed his brother, right?
We appointed out Bobby to be the Attorney General. Yeah.
And can you imagine if Trump did something like that? We would have a fit.
Well,
there's a reason why
after that, after Kennedy did that,
they changed the law,
so we can't do that. Yeah. It's like, fair enough. I mean, we've had worse attorney generals than Bobby Kennedy, but I totally get saying no, that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. Well, it's nepotism. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Bobby Kennedy, I think, was actually a qualified candidate, but I can totally see saying like, yeah, however much you like him, no, your brother can't be the attorney general.
RFK's pick is Nicole Shanahan. She is a tech attorney. From San Francisco.
Very well done.
Who also probably hates vaccines.
I haven't seen that
and,
yet.
And
but
probably Jews.
Okay.
I mean, RFK does.
I would have guessed
said so.
From what she said, and I can't quote it exactly because I listened to it extensively, her remarks when he appointed her. I would guess that she's actually very progressive. And she made, I forget which company she made all her money on, but it's one
if
of the
she's
big ones.
Willing to be on a ticket with RFK Jr.,
she expressed concerns about medicine and vaccines.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Well, there's parts of his. Well, we would get this is a longer conversation, but there are some problems with the way the government promotes vaccines and the industry itself. There is a problem with the industry.
There are huge problems with the way healthcare
pharmaceutical
companies operate in this country. The whole profit motive needs to be driven out of the whole thing. So I'm kind of on the same page with him about that, but only in the most general, like, wow, this is really messed up. We need to fix it.
Anytime you hear the word industry, there is a problem there.
Yep, pretty much.
So in some ways, we all agree on that.
We agree on a lot of stuff.
Certainly on the monopolistic.
We need to squeeze some of the capitalism out of our society there.
And I think there's problems with labor when there's a monopsony. So.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'd rather have to deal with those problems than the other problems. But yeah.
I think we should deal with all of them. And I think it's great that our FTC chair, young, smart, does tech, and really gets what the problems are with our industries. Right
well,
now.
And it's
I
not...
guess Biden appointed her, right?
Yeah, well, and, you know, I use Apple products, and I've been happily using Apple products for 38 years, but I got to say, I have no problem at all with the FTC going after Apple for antitrust monopolistic behavior. Yeah, it's fine.
You know, we didn't talk about it, but at some point we might want to talk about SCOTUS and metformin, because that was quite a piece they did. You know, they're hearing on whether they can ban the abortion drug or not.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that.
Talk about that like when they make the ruling.
It'll probably keep till then.
Good point. But it was eye-opening. They were actually pretty open-minded about it. I think they're going to go to standing and then have to come back to it at a later point.
That makes sense. I think the last thing that they... I think the last thing the Roberts Court wants to do is pass too many precedents that might empower the executive office so long as Democrats control it. Yeah. So
that FTC chair, Lisa Kahn is her name. So if you get a chance to see her, she's a Teddy Roosevelt person.
Right. Well, you know.
On monopolies. So.
Someone shot her?
God, I hope not.
And she kept giving a speech?
I think she's an up-and-comer, so. And she must be a Democrat because a Democrat appointed her. But it'll be interesting to see. Because, John Ray, don't you often say that we got all these old farts that don't know anything about tech and they're trying to regulate. They don't even know.
Yeah, because the internet is a series of tubes, not a truck.
Yeah.
Was that McCain? I forget who that
was. No,
it
wasn't McCain.
The fellow from Alaska. I can't remember his name.
Oh, but, yeah, the Bridge to Nowhere guy, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah.
He was a card.
Yeah. Well, we're better off not having him in the Senate, at least. So,
did you hear Lisa Murkowski, speaking of Alaska, is going to leave the Republican Party?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. It's interesting. I never thought
she has
would.
Been considering it. She's been saying it, but there's no she hasn't been definitive about it, and she then kind of backtracked on it. So who knows what she's doing?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
But I mean, she was able to win without the party's backing in her last election.
Yeah, right in for Senate. That's
just there's several people I wonder, like, why they stick with the Republican Party.
I feel eyeballs burning down on me.
Yes.
Well, so that I can defend against crazy emails about my...
Fair enough.
my kitty cats, who I adore and take well care of and are vaccinated.
Those cats are great. So, yeah, we should probably wrap it up. Though, actually, there's a very quick thing I just want to mention. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but... it looks like Mr. Trump is losing weight. And apparently, there's a lot of speculation that he's taking Ozempic and whatever.
Or Wegovy, yeah.
Yeah. So, whatever it's called. And just, you know, one thing I've always found annoying, much as I dislike the man, is the way people will make snide comments about his weight. So maybe people will shut up about that and find other more valid things to criticize about the man, like his fascism.
I agree with you, but it's because I like Chris Christie and everybody was all over him.
I hate that too.
It's okay to just not like fat jokes.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I believe in size acceptance, which is a whole movement.
Right, good. Right, yeah. Exactly. Anyway, so I just wanted to put that out there. Glad he's losing weight if that's what he wants to do. Anyway, so we're going to wrap it up here. We're going to wrap it up tonight for Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio. Coming up next, we've got a nice little music mix, or if it's Monday afternoon repeat, coming up next is Democracy Now! We got Friday evening, we've got Subculture at 8, Table of Contents at 10, and then OK Asia at midnight, so that'll all be really awesome. You should listen to every minute of it. And if you want to listen to us at any time, we've got a podcast version of this coming out over the weekend, so woo! Anyway, that'll do it for now. Thank you for listening. Good night. Civil Politics is a member of the PlanetSide Podcast Network. To learn more, go to planetsidepodcasts.com.